Gamble was not about to recommend to his superiors at Langley that the CIA divert budget funds from its global campaign against Al-Qaeda to shore up the oil assets of a small-time dictator, even if ExxonMobil and other American companies might benefit. Gamble spoke some Spanish, but he turned now to the interpreter. "Tell the president that we're just a small service with a small budget compared to the money that he has in his bank account."
"I'm not telling him that," the interpreter said.
"Look, tell him, or I'll say it to him in my broken Spanish." The interpreter started hesitantly.
"My boss wants to say..."
Obiang laughed.
"Okay."
"He understood," he said.
"Mr. President," Gamble said, "we're in business."
The next time coup makers cast eyes on Equatorial Guinea and the property of ExxonMobil, Marathon, and Hess, as they would soon enough, they would reckon with new defenses. Other authoritarian leaders might have grown frustrated with all the human rights talk in Washington and moved on to a security and oil partnership with China or France by now. Obiang, however, believed that he would be more secure with the United States than with any other global power. Cassidy helped keep him tethered to Washington. Amos Hochstein resigned from the account, but others at the firm continued to work the White House and the State Department to deepen security and economic ties as much as possible. Instinctively, with the aid of his checkbook, and in spite of his prolonged resistance to liberal American ideas about how he should organize his government and protect the rights of Equatoguinean citizens, Obiang had found American assistance to change his regime for the purpose of reinforcing it. Andrew Swiger had been rising rapidly through ExxonMobil's management ranks when, soon after the coup attempt, he was selected by Lee Raymond and the management committee in Irving to explain the corporation's dealings with Obiang to the United States Senate. Democratic staffers on the Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations had been looking into Riggs for more than a year. They had scheduled a hearing to review and publicize their findings. Swiger had taken charge of Africa operations shortly after the Mobil merger. There was almost nothing about ExxonMobil's relationship with the Obiang regime that the corporation wished to discuss in public, other than its charitable campaign to fight malaria. Asked occasionally about its ties to a government with such a poor human rights record, ExxonMobil spokesman repetitively and briefly stated that the company followed the law and condemned human rights violations wherever they may occur. The Riggs Bank scandal had exposed many of the details of ExxonMobil's financial ties to Obiang, its rental of land from regime officials, its investments in businesses controlled by Obiang relatives, and its funding of scholarships for elite Equatoguinean children selected by the president. The Justice Department opened an inquiry into whether the corporation might be operating in violation of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, FCPA. Now Swiger would have to explain and defend ExxonMobil's decisions. Early on the morning of July 15, 2004, he arrived on the third floor of the Dirksen Senate office building on Constitution Avenue, just to the north of the Capitol Dome. Norm Coleman, a Republican from Minnesota who chaired the investigations subcommittee, gaveled the hearing to order at 9:06 a.m. Swiger read a prepared statement about ExxonMobil's work in Equatorial Guinea. He explained why the corporation's lawyers and executives had concluded, after painstaking reviews, that its investments in real estate and businesses in Malabo that were controlled by Obiang and his close relatives were legal under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and proper as a matter of corporate responsibility. Essentially, the corporation's defense was that it was exempt from some of the normal FCPA requirements because in Equatorial Guinea, there was no market for local services other than that provided by the Obiang family. This was indeed an established defense to FCPA allegations in similar circumstances. Equatorial Guinea has no law limiting or even defining conflict of interest. Most ministers continue to moonlight and conduct businesses that often conflate their public and private interests, a State Department cable from Malabo reported. There are no arm's-length transactions here. ExxonMobil is committed to being a good corporate citizen wherever we operate worldwide, Swiger read out to the Senate committee. We maintain the highest ethical standards, comply with all applicable laws and regulations, and respect local and national cultures. These principles and practices apply to our operations in Equatorial Guinea. The practical realities of doing business in developing countries are challenging. Equatorial Guinea, like many developing nations, has a limited number of local businesses and a small population of educated citizens. In such countries, it is sometimes necessary to do business with a government official or a close relative of a government official. But it is still expected that we do business ethically and comply with all U.S. and local laws. Carl Levin, the committee's ranking Democrat, took up the questioning. He criticized ExxonMobil for failing to cooperate with the committee's investigators. Amerada Hess and Marathon had been fully cooperative with the Senate committee's probe, but ExxonMobil had stonewalled, he said. Levin then asked Swiger whether improving the social and governance conditions in Equatorial Guinea was a condition of ExxonMobil's decision to do business there.
It is not, Senator, Swiger said. Does it trouble you that you have a business partner like this dictator?
Business arrangements we have entered into have been entirely commercial, have been at market-based rates, arm's-length transactions, fully recorded on our books, Swiger answered robotically. Then he seemed to improvise a little.
They are a function of completing the work that we're there to do, which is to develop the country's petroleum resources, and through that, and our work in the community, make Equatorial Guinea a better place.
Make it what?
A better place,